Live from the Old National Bank State Street Studio, across from the historic Chicago Theater, you are listening to Carmen and Yurko on the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. This is WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station. Welcome back to Opening Day, the North Side Way. Live from Old Crow Smokehouse on Clark Street in Wrigleyville. Presented by Miller Lite.
Stop by or listen live on the ESPN Chicago app on FM at 100.3 HD2 or ESPN 1000.
All right, we're rolling along. Sun is shining. It's opening day. It's Carmen and Yurk. We are live at Old Crow on Wrigley. Brought to you by Miller Lite. Place is still pretty packed, and not a little. People heading over to the game. White Sox don't play till later tonight. Big one against the reigning champs to open up the season, and you're going to catch all the games right here on your home for White Sox baseball, ESPN 1000. We're pleased to be joined right now by one of the best in the business, the television voice of your Chicago White Sox. Jason Benetti joins us from Houston on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. Jason, good afternoon. How are you, buddy?
Good, good. Just ready to listen to Len and DJ tonight.
Absolutely, right? It's a good way to start, right? You got to wait till tomorrow to do your first game. Is that right?
Yeah. But look, you guys got the best in the business, so I'm going to listen to those guys and watch the game. I have a little AirPod in my ear. Listen to those guys and watch the game.
Fantastic. Look, opening day is always fun. I know there's a lot of optimism. I'm trying to remain very optimistic about my beloved White Sox, even though I've had, you know, some people in the professional gambling space I know tell me they're not going to make it to 80 wins, and some very respected baseball people that I think know the game well that I've read say, they're going to really struggle and probably aren't going to be in the mix for the division. It's a gettable division, no disrespect to Cleveland or Minnesota. If they stay healthy, where does this team max out? Should we be excited and optimistic if they can stay healthy, Jason?
So that's the thing. I think if health is not much of an issue for this team compared to the rest of the league, I think they're very much contenders to win the division. I really, really do. I think, and Dan Zimborski, who writes for FanGraphs and has his Zips projections, as he calls them, that got posted the other day or today, and I was reading it this morning. The White Sox are at 77 wins in the Zips projection, but Joe Sheehan has them at 89 wins, and those are both very respected models. And I think the difference in the models, as Dan wrote, is the depth, right? So if the Sox don't have to tap deep into the pool of resources beyond the major league, I think this is you could argue that if they stay healthy, they are the favorites to win the division. Also argue that if they don't stay healthy, they're the favorites to finish third in the division.
So new manager Pedro Grifol takes over. What's going to be his effect? How will fans be able to notice, hey, this guy's come in and he's really taken over here?
Yeah, the first thing I noticed, Yurk, was in spring training, just the scheduling out minute by minute of what's going on in spring training. There's like no standing around. It's a very new age coaching style of like, hey, we're going to add value wherever we can add value. And I thought one of the most interesting things he said in spring training was that he wants guys on the bench with very specific value. And I think that's why Hanser Alberto made the team, is because he has very specific value against left-handed pitchers. He is that type of guy who from one side can really wear you out. And so he wants guys who add specific value, not just like quote-unquote gamers, right? He wants guys who have a specific skill set on the bench. And I just think his understanding of where the value is in situations, we're going to see very quickly.
It's a lot easier from my chair, Jason, to fill out the lineup card. And I understand that. If I'm Pedro Grifol, if I'm making out the lineup card, I don't care that the White Sox are facing a tough lefty. I go up to Oscar Colas today and I tell him, you did everything we asked. You made this team. You're our right fielder. You're playing tonight. What do you think happens? Will he be in the lineup?
I think that's where we should have Pedro Grifol in the manager's chair instead of you. Sorry, Carm. I believe I believe that he won't be in the lineup tonight just because of Pedro's insistence on value. And if you have somebody who's never played in a major league game, why would you have him go left on left against an opening day starter? I think will be the calculus. I totally do see your point. Like, let him out there. Just let it eat. If he goes 0 for 4, he goes 0 for 4. Mm-hmm. I just think the value of the situation, you're going to hear a lot of different ways people say it, but he's not going to bypass situations because of, like, a gut instinct first, right? He's going to listen to his gut, but he's also going to say, hey, like, it's not a great idea to hit on 17, sort of thing.
All right, so with that said, now I think you sort of – you touched on this, tapping into their depth and like, how much of an issue is that? You know, when he's not out there – with Billy Hamilton in the minors, and I get some of the reasons why with being out of options, but Roman Gonzalez has played 5 games in right field in his big league career. Hasn't played in the big leagues a lot anyway, but, like, that's where they're going to start to get stressed, I guess, a little bit. Would that be the option for tonight? Is it going to be Roman Gonzalez in right?
That would be my wager, but I have not seen a lineup card yet. I'm actually still at the hotel, but I would say that would be a distinct option. And yeah, I mean, the thing that Romy said the other day about, hey, if I feel like if I can play center field, I can play the corners, and he's done some of that, I feel comfortable in saying, like, hey, he will be a better value right against left than left on left. And I know I keep saying value and I sound like an economist, and I don't mean to do that. I don't want to, like, exhaust my welcome here by sounding like an MBA student or something like that. But I do think you're going to see a lot of that this year where, hey, we feel like there's a matchup in, you know, if the coaching staff feels like there's a matchup that they want to exploit, that's how you go do this. You go find a matchup and you make it rain with that matchup. So I do believe that's most likely what'll happen. But, hey, Pedro could surprise me too.
Yeah. Okay, so ninth inning, White Sox have a 4-2 lead. Who gets the ball?
Ooh, that's interesting, huh? that'll be fun. You know, a number of teams are going into this season without distinct closers. The Mets and White Sox both would not want to do that. Obviously, both situations, injury-wise, illness-wise. I do think you might see a couple different guys do that for the Sox. I don't have the feeling that Pedro needs it to be capital C closer, which I know makes people skittish, and I totally get why, because if you have a shutdown guy like Liam, like Edwin Diaz, whoever it might be, you just feel better. Mm. And, you know, part of baseball and watching a baseball season is feeling good about the ninth inning. So I don't know the answer to that yet. I think we're going to live it live, and I think it's sometimes going to be based on matchups early on.
Jason Benetti is our guest. We're talking White Sox. Season opens against the Astros tonight. Cease is on the mound, finished second last year. I expect big things out of him again. I mean, if we could nitpick one thing, Jason, it's that he still walks too many guys, right? Or he fails to sort of, you know, finish guys off in those two-strike counts, and it leads to higher pitch counts and maybe shorter outings. Is there something that he can do? Is it something that he made a focus to try to get better at as he takes that next step? Because we know he's awfully good. Again, he was right there to win the Cy Young last year.
Yeah, he was, and the walks are what hurt him. So I agree with you, and I think he would agree with you as well, that he needs to put people away faster. And this is where I do wonder if the new rules, and Lucas Giolito had said it earlier this year in spring training, hey, I feel freer on the mound with the new rules. I wonder if that helps or hurts Dylan Cease, and we'll see it tonight. But I do kind of have the sense that, and this is not based on empirical evidence yet, but I do have the sense that at-bats just might be faster. Like, we might see guys get a little itchier to swing the bat because of the tempo of an at-bat. And I wonder if Dylan Cease being out there on the mound and realizing he just had to throw and maybe attack more, I wonder if the guys with better stuff will pick around less because of the rule changes in part.
That's interesting. What, are you excited about all the rules changes?
Yes. A million times, yes. Yeah. I I was the one I don't love is the shift getting banned, but I do understand why they did it, and I do think it's going to help the watchability of the game.
Yeah,
so just for like the reasons they put it forward, I don't know that it's going to change the reliance on home runs, but I do think more stolen bases is good, more defensive athleticism is good. I do think the pitch clock and the hitter clock are going to revolutionize the way families can watch the game. You know, you can go to a game and feel like you'll be home after 2.5 hours. I think that's a big change. And, you know, the other component of this with all of it is it requires teams to reevaluate what everything means, right? Like when a stolen base is worth it. And we're going to have a whole spectrum of 30 teams figuring that out on the fly. To me, it's a little bit like going to Vegas, sitting down at a blackjack table, and having the dealer say, oh, yeah, by the way, while you were asleep, we decided that the dealer has to stay on 15 now, 15 and above. You'd be like, wait. I've been playing blackjack all my life. I have a 5 against a 5. I'm waving it off. Now you have to change all of your calculus of everything going on and how you play different hands. That's what teams are doing right now.
What I'm trying to figure out exactly what the limitations on Michael Kopech are going to be.
Oh, good question.
Ever since they've acquired him, there seems to have been some sort of limitation on him all the time. Is he going to be ready to rock and roll this year?
I think so. I mean, my feeling is that he's back from the injury from last year, that he's full go starting rotation, and I think the answer is absolutely yes, you know, barring injury, obviously, and that's the thing that has bit him and caused part of the limitations in the first place is the injury history.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, the Tommy John. It was the COVID year, and he decided to opt out. And it's, you know, the knee that bothered him last year. It's been just all these little things. You know, and I think we looked it up. It was 129 innings or something last year. Is that what it was? Or barely that?
It's like, something
can you
like
stretch
that?
It out?
It was like 112 or something like
that,
maybe. 119, yeah. Somewhere in that range.
Yeah, and God, you'd love to see it just stretch out to 150, 160, 175.
The problem is Dylan Cease can only pitch one day a week, one every fifth day.
Well, yeah.
That's your problem.
Well, hopefully Lance Lynn bounces back a little bit. There still is a lot of talent. I think Jason's right about that. Hey, a couple other things before we let you go. How do you think the WBC helped guys like Yoan, T.A., Jose Ruiz? I mean, they all played very well.
They did. The first couple days, I don't know if it was the first game in pool play, but it was the first or second day in pool play, Yoan made a diving stab at third base, got up through to first base. He came running into the dugout and pumped his fist a number of times and like high-fived teammates and did the whole bit. And I was like, that is a totally different guy.
Yeah,
we just do not see that emotion come out of him so far in his White Sox tenure. And I just wonder if the proximity to the season of playing for his country, which matters so much to so many guys, turns into a real positive for him emotionally. And I do think, like, getting Eloy Jimenez in competitive baseball games to start the year after he closed out last year very strong is a really good idea. And, you know, Lance Lynn's just going to throw strikes no matter where he is. Kendall Graveman, I talked to him about it, and he was thrilled to be there, too. So I think the Moncada thing was the most interesting piece of that for me, outside of the obvious of Tim Anderson having, you know, big hits, big moments, that sort of thing. The Moncada emotional thing was really interesting to me.
Does this team have a little chip on its shoulder, considering the way last year went, some of the things that were written, said about them? Are they going to play a little feisty and with a little chip this year?
My answer, you know, if cold takes exposed on Twitter didn't exist, would be absolutely yes. And it's still going to be yes. I think this team's going to be better. I think the whole atmosphere around the team is better. I think there's a coaching staff that is just more cohesive. I think there's help. Like, if Grandal does what we hope he's going to do and what he seems to suggest he feels like he's going to do, that's a big change. Because when he was killing the ball in 2020 and then, you know, when he was healthy in 2021, that's a guy you need to have play well behind the plate as a switch hitter. So I am very optimistic we would talk about other things if I wasn't optimistic. I could very easily give you my picks for the Final Four or something like that if I thought the Sox were going to win 65 games. But I don't think they are. Like, I think the Sox are going to be highly competitive and much more interesting this year in ways that you want a team to be interesting than last year.
I love it. Jason, wonderful insights as always. Thanks. Enjoy the weekend down there. We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys.
See you, buddy. There's Jason Benetti live in Houston, and that's a big ESPN national game tonight. We've got the game right here with Len and DJ, so make sure you're listening. Connor will have your pregame. Speaking of Connor, we got McKnight at the Movies, Yurko, coming up next.
Welcome back to Opening Day, the North Side Way. Live from Old Crow Smokehouse on Clark Street in Wrigleyville. Presented by Miller Lite.
Stop by or listen live on the ESPN Chicago app on FM at 100.3 HD2 or ESPN 1000. McKnight at the Movies. Connor McKnight recreates classic cinema on Carmen and Yurko. Only on ESPN Chicago.
We're going to jump into McKnight of the Movies in just a second. You know what time it is? Not only McKnight of the Movies time, it's Miller time.
Oh, nice.
A fresh bucket of cold Miller Lights? I mean, come on.
Chilly ones.
Cheers.
Chilly
the opening
ones.
Day. Jake.
Be careful. Don't spill on the computer.
Come on, Jakey.
That's happened to me before.
Jake can too. Be careful. Watch the water. Yeah. Three home runs in the big league so far. Do you want to guess who hit those home runs? I'll give you the games. Braves are playing the Nationals. Giants are playing the Yankees in the stadium. And the Orioles are playing the Red Sox. Cubs just started.
Orioles are playing the Red Sox.
Orioles are playing the Red Sox. There are three home runs in the big so far.
I'm thinking Al Bumpery.
No.
Ken Griffey nope. Jr.
All right, smartasses, both of you. I mean, listen.
Hold on. Isn't he the fourth highest paid player this season for the Reds?
No, and the Mariners. It's got to be the Reds. I think you're right about that, Chris.
Yeah.
The way the contract was structured, right?
Yeah.
Still getting paid.
Well, it's kind of like
checks.
Well, the Mets are still paying Bobby Bonilla every year.
Best day in sports.
Yeah. All right, three home runs. Guess, come on. One of them's easy.
The easiest.
Aaron Judge hit a home run
on
the second pitch he saw in the first inning.
All rise, Aaron Judge.
All rise. Gleyber Torres also hit a home run in that game. And then I'll give you a hint. The other game came in the Red Sox-O's game, and it was hit by a member of the Baltimore Orioles.
Baltimore Orioles.
It's an easy one. We saw him play last year.
It wasn't Al Bumpery.
It's
Eddie Murray.
It's not Eddie Murray, Yurko. It's not Cal Ripken Jr.
Is it Gary Roenicke?
It's not Gary Roenicke. It's not. Who was the smooth field and shortstop, Yurk, that they used
to have? Rick Dempsey.
No. The shortstop that they had that was a stud. Remember?
Miguel Tejada.
No. I was playing the way back game with you. Way back in the day, who's the
not Brooks Robinson?
But Brooks was the third baseman. They
Chris Davis.
No,
Mark Bellinger.
Mark Bellinger. That's who it was.
Thank you.
There you go.
Thank you.
Adley Rutschman, obviously.
Woo.
Come on, we saw him play last year. The catcher,
Adley Rutschman
hit
good
a home run for the Orioles.
Rutschman.
Rushmore. Great
that's
movie.
Rushmore. Good
great
movie. Yeah, not
Rushmore. Which I referenced at the 25th anniversary party last
week.
Yes,
you did.
He wrote a hit play. All right, let's play McKnight of the Movies. Winner today gets an ESPN prize pack.
You're right.
It took us way too long to get last week's. It was an all-timer. Connor gave us a clue earlier when he joined us, and he was like, the movie's just so-so. I'm like, okay. He goes, you've seen it once. That's about it.
That's all you need to
see. So let's find out what we've got.
I would argue that saying it's so-so is being nice.
I also think that I don't know if you guys have seen this movie.
Oh, wow, really?
That's okay. How so-so it is.
Yeah. All right, Adam said it's so-so's being nice. All right, here we go. McKnight at the Movies, Part 1.
Our scene opens in the park. Two people, man and woman, talking back and forth. It's a little cold out, it looks like. Not unlike this morning. Cold, but with the promise of warmth around the corner. The man is kind of mid-speech. It's impassioned. It's received well by the woman, believe it or not. Seemed a little nerdy, to be honest, but she's found the bright side in his delusion. That may be a good thing, maybe a bad thing, down the line.
I've got a guess, but...
Yeah, I don't remember it starting in the park. That's my dilemma.
Jake, can you turn my headset up a little bit? Just so I can hear it a little bit.
Yeah, maybe it'll help if I hear something about the actors.
That's my guess.
Just for everyone playing at home, Twitch does not have the answer at the moment.
I just wrote down my guess here. Twitch. I don't know why.
Yeah,
I don't even make any sense.
Right, I don't know if it does make sense.
I see it now.
Yeah, it's in the Twitch chat.
Oh, it is now. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, we're not looking at the Twitch chat.
All right,
first correct caller, 312-332-ESPN. Here's part two.
A bit on our actress. She's Hollywood royalty in just about every sense. She's been a star since she was six. bumpy ride at times. It's not the first time she's played a paramour to an SNL alumnus. He's more known for TV, especially now, than movies, but people forget that he made a bid for movie star in the early 2000s. It did not go well. He's more than landed on his feet. Not many other names in this, but technically, baseball's caveman makes an appearance.
I know it. Now I've got it. It is.
You're trying to think of the movie, though.
I'm trying to think of the name of it. It's.
Well, write down the actors, and I might be able to take you there.
I'm writing it down right now.
Oh.
And.
Here it is.
Here. What's the name of that movie? All right. No. This guy. That guy.
Oh, I know. It's the one where they end up getting married.
Yes. What is that? Yeah. I can't think of the name of it, but now we have it. All right. Here's part three.
Back to our scene. The music swells a bit as these two begin to connect. The acting from this guy is, well, a thing. He's admitted to a fanaticism of sorts. She's taking it well. This is the kind of scene where the dorkish guy makes a grand gesture out of nowhere. Yep, there it is. There it is. He's down on one knee. But it is not your normal proposal. This movie serves a purpose. We're kind of running low on baseball films in this bit. It was better on first watch in 2005 than subsequent viewings. Famously, they rewrote the ending and included real-life footage when the curse of the Bambino was finally broken.
Yeah, we got it. It's just a so-so
movie. I wouldn't
movie.
Have known the name.
Yeah,
I would have never remembered the name.
Now we got it. It's okay. It's okay. It's one of those movies that's okay.
Have you guys seen it?
I've seen it a bunch.
You both saw it. Okay.
All right. Oh, yeah. I've probably seen it. I bet you I've seen it a half a dozen times.
Carmen, what?
That's disgusting.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
That's
unimpressive.
That's
the description
disgusting.
Of the actor.
You have to walk out right
you
now.
You call yourself a film man.
I've probably seen it. I bet you I've, like, when it's been, I guarantee you it's been on over the years, and I've just sort of, like, stuck with it.
Yeah, you're a big Fallon guy?
No, not really. It's not him. I love her.
I'm telling you, the biggest area of talent that he's ever shown, Jimmy Fallon, is trying not to laugh while Justin Timberlake is stealing the scene.
I don't care about him.
Yeah, Jimmy Fallon is a no-talent hack.
I love her. She's fin. I love her. And I've grown up watching her movies, for crying out loud.
Oh, man, E.T.
Come on. I mean, I love her.
Young, but yet so wonderful in that role.
And I love baseball movies, so I'll admit, I've definitely sat through it just because. But it is definitely not a great movie. It wouldn't make my top 10 baseball movies.
Are we going for
yes, all right. What's the answer?
I mean, we're giving it away to somebody anyway.
Who's our correct caller?
Our good friend, Carmen in North Riverside. Carmen Carcino.
In North Riverside. What's the movie, Carm?
Fever Pitch.
It is Fever Pitch, my man. Nicely done. Enjoy Iowa this weekend in the Final Four. And tell she was right. That Caitlin Clark is something. All right, it is Fever Pitch. It is just very so-so. It is not even in my top 10 of baseball movies.
Not my top 100.
Wow, it'd be in the top 100. All right, here is the reveal.
What are you getting so worked up for? I mean, you're not even doing it. You're watching it.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, how about sometimes I like to be 11 years old. I like being part of something that's bigger than me, than I. It's good for your soul to invest in something you can't control.
You're a romantic. Hmm? You have a lyrical soul. You can love under the best and worst conditions.
I guess so.
It's terrible.
Hey, you took a really big chance inviting me to meet your family. Now I'm going to take a chance. A big one. Lindsay, will you go to opening day with me?
She's the best, though.
She's
not
great.
Good.
51st Dates.
Oh,
I mean,
she's so good, dude.
I enjoy her in a lot of movies. There's one where she ended up getting married to a bum, and she was trying to get divorced from him so she can get remarried to somebody else she had a kid with. Something like Driving in Cars.
Riding in Cars with Boys.
What is it?
Riding in Cars with Boys.
Yeah.
That movie right there.
That's a good one.
She's good in that.
She's awesome. All right, it is.
She's an actress.
She's great. It is Fever Pitch, and I think Connor is right. Like, we're scraping the bottom of the barrel for baseball movies, right? Like, we've done Sandlot, haven't we? We've done Major League. Yeah. We've done both. I think he's done most of them, most of the good ones. Angels in the Outfield he hasn't done. The Fan is terrible. Now, you want to talk about
Bobby De Niro, Wesley Snipes.
I mean, you want to talk about an atrocious movie with a killer cast.
Like
Alan Barkin and Robert De Niro and Wesley Snipes. And
It's like
Benicio del Toro.
Right. It's like Cape Fear goes to baseball.
Cape Fear, that's an insult to Cape Fear.
Yeah. Cape Fear goes to baseball. Yeah,
Cape Fear, at least, is awesome. Counselor. I mean, the fan is terrible. So, like, I'd watch Fever Pitch as a baseball movie before I put the fan on. I promise you that. I'm trying to think of other, like, horrific baseball movies. I like most of the Angels in the Outfield's kind of cheesy.
What's the one where the rag-arm Baltimore Oriole pitcher comes back as an old man and pitches?
No. It was the one with the Tampa, with Dennis Quaid. It was the true story. It was called Rookie.
I Got a Rag Arm.
What do you guys think of Rookie of the Year?
Good movie.
Great movie.
Is that only because we were young when we saw it?
Yes.
Yeah, probably.
Right? Like, if we watched that now, wouldn't we be horrified? But when we were kids,
it was nice.
Yeah, like, I agree with you. It was kind of nice. Like,
Does The Town get a nod for being a baseball movie?
Boy, that's a great
question.
They
do use a baseball bat.
Holy cow. If I'm going to call Die Hard a Christmas movie, Chris just blew my mind.
Right?
Like, is The Town a baseball movie? Holy cow.
I mean, a
heist
takes place at Fenway.
My mind has just been blown.
better your mind, I guess.
No, it'd be better if something
Mr.
else.
Mr. 3000.
That's okay.
That's a baseball movie, yeah.
That's a baseball
movie. I'm really interested now to know if we should be classifying The Town as a baseball movie.
According to your rules, yes, Carm.
My original inclination is no, but it might have to be.
Because
you'd have to include Ted as a baseball movie.
No.
Yeah. Yes.
No.
Yes. The final scene is at Fenway Park.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is Ferris Bueller a baseball movie?
No. See, now that's where we got to draw. Like, Ferris Bueller's not a baseball movie. I don't think The Town is either, but you blew my mind. I mean, they're robbing Fenway Park.
That's such a great heist.
It's with Samuel Jackson.
Now,
has a scene at Yankee Stadium.
It does. Now, is it a great heist movie? The Town is a great heist movie.
Yeah.
I love it.
It has one of the best heist lines of all time. It's like, I'm not you. You got to come with me. You can't ask any questions. And then I need you to drive me somewhere. And it's whose car are we taking? We're going to hurt some people or something like that.
And what's the clue that Sam Jackson has to figure out at Yankee Stadium? What's half of 42 or something like that?
No, that was different. That was like which president he was talking about, where the bomb was placed.
It was 21. Was it in 21?
Yes. And like Chester A. Arthur was the 21st, so they had to go to Chester A. Arthur Middle
School. So what was the question? It was something, half of something.
Half of two and twice of 41.
God, I don't even remember.
God, that's a movie I've seen like
a lot, right?
But yes.
Wasn't that also the one with the water jugs where they had
to
fill? And
which I still can't comprehend how he got an exact amount of liquid in the one jug.
Right.
Yeah. I don't think it is comprehensible. And I think the line Adam's talking about from The Town is what he goes into Jeremy Renner and he says, I got to ask you something. You can never ask me about it again. We got to go hurt some people. Whose car are we taking? We're going to go hurt some people. Whose car are we taking? All right, we'll come right back here. 312-332-ESPN. You want to jump in. We've talked baseball so much of the day. We're going to sneak in a few football things real quick here.
I think we need to.
There's always football.
I think we're obligated. Going against baseball right now.
And then in 30 minutes, we're going to crosstalk with Waddle and Sylvie. Peggy's in for Sylvie again. It's Carmen and York. We'll be right back.
Welcome to baseball. Welcome to the ESPN Chicago Miller Lite Opening Day Live broadcast. Come on by Old Crow Smokehouse before the game. This is Carmen and Yurko on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
We have had a blast here at Old Crow. Don't forget to hang with us at Wings and Rings, Buffalo Wings and Rings. Man, it's been years, like since pre-pandemic, that we've been down there for White Sox opening day on Monday. Sox are on the road to start the season, so they get to be somewhere warm and indoors in Houston. And I think the weather Monday looks like it's going to be like it is today, though, so not too bad for opening day. Giants will be in town. Giants opening the weekend in New York against the Yankees. Then they'll come here. So see us
from
10 to 2 at Buffalo Wings and Rings, 35th and Halstead on Monday. Looking forward to that, man. We're back in the shop tomorrow.
If both teams win, we'll have two undefeated teams tomorrow. When's the last time that happened, huh?
Maybe last year. I don't know. No, I can't even remember. Did the Sox win on opening day? I think they lost. I don't even know.
The Sox have a tendency to lose a lot.
Let's go to Drew in Naperville. He wants to join Kermit and Yurko on ESPN 1000. What up, Drew?
Hey, how's it going, Carmen? How's it going, Yurko?
Good,
love
man.
Your guys' show.
Thank you.
I'm a Naperville North guy and an Eastern Illinois guy, so I fall in line with you guys.
Wow, what a combination.
I love that.
Yeah. So you were talking about Die Hard 3, and I'm a former math teacher, so I feel kind of a little disappointed that you guys can't come up with that quickly. Can I explain it real quick?
Well, wait, so wait, which part? Are you talking about the when they had to balance the water?
Correct.
Okay, all right. So I don't even remember that. It's been years since I've seen Die Hard 2, but yes. What was the problem
the
they had to solve?
Yeah.
The riddle is you got a 5 gallon jug of water, a 5 gallon jug, a 3 gallon jug, and you have to get exactly 4 gallons of water into one jug.
Right.
So you got to fill up the 3 gallon jug, pour it in the 5 gallon jug.
Yep.
And you have 3 gallons in there and nothing in the 3 gallon one. You fill up the 3 gallon jug, pour it into the 5 gallon jug until it's full, which leaves you with 5 gallons in one and 1 gallon in the 3 gallon. You dump out the 5 gallon jug, pour the 1 gallon into the 5 gallon jug, fill up the 3 gallon jug again, and put it in the 5 gallon
jug. That's it. Boom. That's how you do it. That's beautiful.
There you go.
Now, if we're ever in a pinch like that, Drew, I hope you're with us, okay?
I hope so, too. Hey, thanks a lot, guys. Have a great day. Go Sox.
That's exactly it.
That's top notch.
That is 100% exactly it.
I mean, he had to do it in real life one day.
That's great.
He was able to describe the action.
I love it. All right, so there you go. That's a good thing for the math teachers out there. Thank goodness they're teaching math to our kids and we're not. Although Yurko's pretty good at math. Given time, you'd figure it out. You've got a good math mind.
Right. I mean, given time. But the problem is we're trying to remember it on the show. And, we had the other one, too, the half of 21 is 42, whatever that one is.
That was the president.
We got to find out exactly what that question was, too, so we can crunch those numbers.
All right, I'm looking it up. Hold on. Yeah. I'll figure it out.
Chris will look it up.
But then I asked about the water jugs, and then the mathematician had it.
Do you care if the Bears are on Hard Knocks or not?
I don't really care whether they are or not. It doesn't do anything for me.
Like one way or another?
Hard Knocks left to me. Hard Knocks I don't even watch anymore.
Although last year's was pretty decent.
Hard Knocks, they had the Raiders, and they had Antonio Bryant.
Brown.
And Antonio Brown, thank you. There is an Antonio Bryant, but he played for Dallas.
Yes.
Antonio Brown. When they had that crap going on, and then it started to be more scripted, and the team had control of the process, it's junk now. To me, that's a dead program walking.
Okay.
Yeah, if people like it, good. Watch it. I watched it when it was innocent pure.
I feel like it just...
artistic control.
The one thing I'd say, though, I feel like it would provide even a little bit more content for us as Bears fans throughout the course of the summer, through August leading up to the season. I mean, we'll have plenty of it, but it'd be kind of interesting, I guess. I don't know. I could go either way with it. I mean, George McCaskey came out a little bit more definitive, saying they're not interested. Now, the league could force them to do it because they're one of those teams that meet the criteria.
There's like 7-8 teams that could be forced into doing it. Is that right, about 7?
Yeah, that sounds about right, Yurk. I was a little bit more surprised to hear George still not fully commit to Arlington the way Kevin Warren has. For some reason, George still wants to, we don't know if we're going to develop the property. Yeah. Like, Kevin Warren basically has been on our station and he's talked to everybody else. He's like, I wouldn't have taken this job if it weren't for Arlington Park.
Yeah.
And George's like, we don't know.
Months.
And then he said something about when Lori Lightfoot's out of office, they look forward to maybe talking to the city. Why?
It's still the park district. Still the same people in charge of the park district.
Well, maybe he's just mad at Lori Lightfoot.
Well,
I don't know.
What's going to change?
Why do you want to talk to Soldier Field or the park district? Really?
Park district.
Aren't we beyond that at this point?
They run Soldier Field. I don't know. Maybe they're looking for something to be a little bit better over the course of the next 8 years. Before the stadium's being built.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't know.
That could be
They've never had a tremendous working relationship with the city.
Never.
That's never been a surprise. It's always been a problem for them.
Tomorrow, we're going to unveil the beginning of our list that we worked on, we've compiled.
Yeah.
We put together a list of, and again, we started this project when the Bears had the number one pick. We're going to follow through on it. I don't know if it's quite as impactful, but I still think it'll be fun. When the Bears got the first pick, we had an idea to do, let's rank the top 20 Bears draft picks of all time.
Of all time.
And we were going to start it. We start tomorrow because that's 20 days, 20 work days, 20 show days, if you can believe it, until the draft. It's 20 show days
tomorrow
until night one
of
the draft. So it's 3 weeks. And so we're going to start it tomorrow, and that was always our plan. And then they traded the pick, but we're like, we've done the work. Let's do it. And I think it'll be a fun list. It'll just, at the very least, I think there'll be a few that bring up some debate, maybe whether guys we have included in the top 20, guys we left off, and then the way we ranked the 20, So you will get tomorrow number 20 on our list, the 20 greatest Bears draft picks of all time.
And I'm excited about it.
I know you are.
I am excited.
We put in a fair amount of work. Like, we tried to make it a proper list. Look, there are guys on there, full disclosure, that we've never seen play. You have to take into consideration the totality of the league and the history of the organization. The draft goes all the way back to, I believe, 1939 was the first year of the common draft since the merger's 1967. There are some of the old school guys that helped establish this league when the Bears were a dynasty in the 40s that are on the list.
Right.
Like Yurko and I never, and Abdallah and Black, we never saw them play.
So the best pure.
But we still did the homework.
Right.
You know, and we know the history of the Bears well enough to kind of, we kind of knew where we were going to end up in some of those guys, and they will certainly be on the
list. The best pure cover corner that ever played for the Chicago Bears was Leslie Frazier.
I know who you're saying.
It's Leslie Frazier. That's who it is.
I don't even know
career
if there's
ended.
A debate.
Yeah, career ended early. Not eligible for this. Do you know why he wasn't drafted in 12 rounds? He went undrafted in 1981.
That's something.
Yeah, undrafted in 81.
Like Hilgi's not on the list because he was undrafted.
Undrafted,
Gary
yeah.
Fencek was not drafted by the Bears.
Right.
He's not on the list.
Can't
Mongo
the list.
Was not drafted by the Bears.
Right.
Yurko's right.
New England Patriots. So there's a lot of guys that aren't even eligible for this because they were not drafted by the Chicago Bears.
I think it'll be fun, though. At the very least, it should spark a little debate, and we'll have fun discussing. Like, our lists weren't the same, so we might even argue a few things.
Overall, an impact. I think Pina Tillman, you know, would probably say, hey, for his longevity and the Pina punch and everything he did, that you'd consider Pina Tillman one of the best.
Like, one of the most impactful corners
impactful,
the Bears had.
Yeah,
but I think you're right. The best pure
cover
lockdown
guy.
Cover guy the Bears have ever had was probably Les Frazier, and unfortunately got hurt.
Yeah.
And didn't get to play as long as maybe he would have or should have, and you know, would have been great.
Guys,
all right, coming
I have
up.
Your answer for what is 21 of 42. So Simon says to John, you will find an envelope at the fountain when you figure out that task, and then you will ask yourself this question, what is 21 of 42? And he leaves it at that, and he hangs up.
And then somehow they figure out that they're talking about the 21st president.
Yes.
Please.
Chester
and
at
Arthur,
that time,
the
guy driving 40. The truck figures it out.
You got to love Hollywood, right?
21 of 42. At that time, only 42 presidents.
At that time, there might have only been 40. What Die Hard 2 goes back to, like, the early 90s. Europe.
Die Hard 3 probably was released in 94
that's Die
or
Hard
95.
3, excuse me. Yeah, probably, like, mid-90s. We're probably on, like, President 40.
I mean, you're looking at...
Was Clinton 40?
No, Barack served 8, right? Go back.
Wait, what number was Barack?
George
was Barack
Bush. No, Barack was 44.
Barack was 44.
So Clinton
was
40. George Bush was
1995. That would have been a Clinton year, right?
Right. So, I mean, think about it. So Clinton was the 42nd president. Then it went to George Bush. Then it went to Barack Obama.
Oh, yeah, it had to because we just we figured that out. It was half of – it was 21, so it was –
Right.
Yes, there you
so
go.
I'm just saying that whoever was there whenever the movie was made, there were only 40 – that was
42.
The 42nd president.
Half of 42.
Yeah.
It seems very Hollywood that they were able to figure out he was talking about presidents. Professor A. Arthur was
which one are we on now?
We're on 48?
46, Doug Plank.
Oh, 46, I'm sorry.
Come on.
Yeah, because Barack was 44.
Doug Plank.
46. We're on Doug Plank. That should be easy to remember.
Absolutely.
All right, crosstalk coming up at the top of the hour. We're live at Old Crow. We'll be right back.
This is the opening day live broadcast from Old Crow Smokehouse in Wrigleyville, presented by Miller Lite. Watch the show on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
All right, crosstalk in just about 10 minutes. Peggy is in for Sylvie once again, so we're going to crosstalk with Waddle and Sylvie coming up. It's thinned out. Everybody's over at
they're at the ball
Clark
game.
And Addison at the ball game.
They're at the ball game right now.
Man,
so we could have a seance in here right now.
I haven't been back down here since last year, opening day. And it is just so different. I mean, it really is. The look around the ballpark and the skyline
is totally different.
It's totally different.
It used to be the highest place was the Wrigley Field. Now it's
now
not.
Got the hotel and the other stuff.
Dare I say it's
shops of Woodfield across the street.
Everything's just kind of the ball field itself has been minimized.
Yeah,
as far as from the outside in, but once you're inside, it's the same old ballpark.
I haven't been inside there in years. I have no idea. I mean, it's been years since I've been inside Wrigley. I'm guessing 2000, maybe even before the World Series, Yerk. 15, maybe, give or take. It's been a long time since I've been over there.
What's stopping you, Carm?
I'm not a Cub fan.
I know, but the Sox play there twice.
They do. They do.
I know what's stopping you. How old's your oldest?
11.
There you go. That's what's stopping you. Until you're going to take them to the game?
Yeah, maybe I should bring him to, like, when the Sox are here. Bring him to a game.
If you're going to take them to the game, that's the next time you're going to go.
Yeah.
But when you have kids, it's like, okay, am I going to just go catch an afternoon game at Wrigley against the White Sox, or am I going to go home because I got 1,000 things that need to be done?
Yeah. Yeah, we used to come a lot. You're right. When you didn't have as many responsibilities when the Sox were here, I'd sit next to a shirtless Mark Silverman.
When the greatest responsibility is, where am I going to drink?
Yes, I know. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's your biggest thought for the night. Hey, where am I going to booze?
Those are the days, right? Yes, when your biggest question and biggest responsibility is deciding where you're going to eat and drink. So it's been a long time since I've been in that ballpark. I don't even know what it would look like anymore. Do they still have the troughs in the bathroom, or did they redo that?
I wouldn't be able to tell you, Jake.
I think some of them do.
Do they?
Yeah. I wasn't a big fan of it the first time I came here.
What bothered me is my thing always got wet.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. But I know
that
was
a problem for me.
When you say your thing.
Yeah.
A couple people on Twitter were like, less than 24 hours till this.
When you go.
What's that, Chris?
Like? You're not supposed to kneel when you're in front of it.
Now that's a good line. That should be the final word. That was funny. I was at I was just in New Orleans a few weeks ago, right? In Napoleon House, which is in the French Quarter, which is one of those, you know, it's been a bar since 1797.
Yeah, since Napoleon Bonaparte was something on the earth.
It's stupid. It's like the second oldest bar, you know, after Lafitte's or whatever. It's like it's been there since before 1800. But it's, you know, the bathroom is what is it is. It's even though it's been modernized, it's still tiny, and there's a trough in there.
Yeah.
And I'm in there, and another guy came walking in, and I said,
"You're right next to him."
We're right next to him, and it's a tiny little space.
Yeah.
And I go, "You don't see many of these anymore." And he was an older guy, and he goes, "No, you really don't." And I said, "Damn, I don't even think Wrigley has many of them anymore." And he's like, "Is that right?" I said, "I don't think so." And I go, "Well, I'm a Sox fan, so I don't go that often, but I don't know." And he's like, "Oh, you're from Chicago." Yeah. I'm talking to this old guy at the trough. It is. It's always like a slightly odd, uncomfortable experience. But I didn't know if during all the upgrades, if they had taken some of those out. But one of my buddies I asked on the trip then, who is a Cup fan, he goes, well, I said, "Oh, no, they're still... They can still be found." I think they got, like, they modernized the ones in the outfield because when they redid all the bleachers.
Right.
I think they modernized those.
It's like designated smoking areas now. There's troughs designated now. If you like that experience.
I'll agree it's efficient, but it is not the most pleasant way to go to the bathroom. It just isn't. It's
no frills. It's a no-frills experience.
Especially at Wrigley when you see a guy puking in one of them. I mean, it's just the whole thing used to always be off-putting to me. I was like, really? This is what we're doing? I mean, this is not a fun, pleasant experience, you know? I'd rather wear one of those adult diapers and just,
the
you know?
Experience was, or a stadium pal.
Or a stadium pal, yeah, right.
The experience was when the plumbing would go bad. Like, you'd have a problem with the plumbing, and the floors were all soaked.
Oh, God. It's just awful.
And then you guys never had it, but I saw the video of the guy that dove in.
I remember.
To the trough and went through it. And I'm like, all right, you've gone too far.
You think?
I've had a drink out of a toilet plunger before.
Right. Yurko has, famously.
I've done that.
Now, the toilet was clean, wasn't it?
I didn't put the toilet plunger in the toilet. I took the plunger from the side of the toilet, put a beer in.
Oh, is that what you did?
And used it as a chalice.
Boy.
Yeah, I mean, not the brightest thing in the world to do.
That is not.
But when you're young, you think you're invincible.
God, right? I got to tell you, that is not. But it's a lot better than sliding through the trough.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to go get a shot after that, don't you?
First time I did it was 1991 when I drank out of a toilet.
What do you mean the first time? You did it more than once?
Yeah, then I did it probably about 7 years ago at our bar.
Are you
the
serious?
Kids were doing shoeies. I don't know what this thing is.
Yeah,
seen this?
I know.
Kids are doing these shoeies. You know, they pour beer into a shoe and they drink it. I go, what's that? Big deal. I went and grabbed the plunger, poured a beer, and I said, want to be a man, drink out of a toilet plunger.
Were they amazed? Was everybody just like, you want to talk about stopping the crowd dead in their tracks?
Right in the tracks. I go, you kids are doing nothing here. I go, here's something you need to do.
I mean, it's pretty awful, dude.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
Carm, isn't that right up your alley, the shoey?
The shoey, yeah. Well, listen, I drink out of the cup. I drink out of the Stanley
Cup. Yeah, his stomach,
which is probably just as bad.
Something else. That's not what we're talking about.
Yes, yeah, stomach's knows. Never been the same.
Oh, the shoey. You guys are unbelievable. You know that? H.A. Shoey. Unbelievable. You guys are unbelievable. I'm busting my balls. Can you believe it? Because my penchant for the nice women's feet. They're busting my balls now.
Not surprised.
That's what they're doing.
Of course, those shoes don't hold. They don't.
Those
hold
shoes
a lot
don't
liquor.
Hold liquid, you guys.
There's not
you
a lot to them shoes.
Those are open-toed shoes. What's the matter with
I'm
you?
I'm telling you, them straps on there too.
You know better than that.
Dainty.
Now
six-inch heels.
You could argue that drinking out of the cup was just as filthy as Yurko drinking out of that plunger. God only knows what's happened in that cup.
Yeah.
I mean, you heard stories.
They bathed babies in that cup.
Babies. That. Are you kidding? I wouldn't mind that. I mean, geez, you know. I think a time or two when Chelios had that cup with Kid Rock and Eddie Vedder. God only knows what was going on in that Stanley Cup.
Oh, boy.
I don't think any of us want to know. When we come back, we're going to crosstalk with Waddle and Sylvie. Peggy's in for Sylvie again, so we'll see what they got cooking to get you home 2-6. What time's pregame for Sox tonight? Is it 5:30, guys? I think it's 5:30, right?
5:30, yeah.
Yeah, 5:30. They'll be a little truncated. Connor will have your pregame at 5:30 as we roll into our first White Sox broadcast of the year. First pitch just a little after 6 down in Houston tonight against the defending champs, and you're going to catch it here on your home for White Sox baseball. So we're going to be back in just a couple of minutes with Crosstalk. Yurko's got the final word, brought to you as always by Bath Planet.
Carmen and Yurko present today's final word.
Because you had to be a big shot, didn't you? You had to open up your mouth.
Today's final word.
You had to have the last word
on Carmen and Yurko.
I'll fall asleep on the way home. You ever watch baseball, Carm?
I mean,
it's like watching paint dry.
There are a couple funny ones in here that I don't want to read.
Look at the grass grow. I mean, I'm in the point now where I've got to start. Carm, I got to start watching baseball today.
Yes, you do.
You know what that's going to make me? Very sleepy, like La Russa. No wonder La Russa was sleeping on the bench all the time.
You know what?
He's watching baseball.